Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our studios in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live each and every weekday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Global Star Radio Network. We are live with video on YouTube as well as Blog Talk Radio Network. We have two websites that we use, HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com. HagmanReport.com is for the news and information, as well as some show information, and Hagman and Hagman is for the show. We got a lot to get into tonight. It's a heavy news day, as it has been, you know, for the last few months. And we have a great guest coming on, Patrick Wood of Technocracy News, author of Technocracy Now. He will be joining us at 7:30, and we're going to get into some current events as well as what's going on in the world of technocracy, with all the artificial intelligence and the transhumanism, and it's going to be a very interesting show. Want to jump right out and get into this. There's a lot in the news about Donald Trump today, and stemming back to James Comey, and then from yesterday's Washington Post. But I think the real story today is Seth Rich, the murdered DNC staffer, and I believe that some of this other information is coming out.
Joe, take this home. Go ahead and run with this. To me, this is the most important underreported story, and if people don't understand how important this is, I'm going to tell you right now. Look, folks, it's a war out there. You know, Robert Spencer was poisoned in Iceland. Did you know that?
No.
Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch, was poisoned in Iceland. So it's bad enough that we've got these democratic enemies, progressive communist enemies, we've got Muslim enemies, we even have Republican and in some cases conservative Christian enemies.
Well, yeah, let's get into
that. Take some time on Seth Rich, folks, or Joe, folks. Listen to this, please.
All right, I'm gonna get to Seth Rich. That is definitely the most important story of the day, of the week, of the month, in my opinion. But just a little bit about what came out today that is trying to bury, not only bury the Seth Rich story, which is getting censored on places like Twitter and online forums, which is something we can get into later. But today, James Comey, on the heels of the what many are calling the fake news Washington Post report, and we'll explain why they're saying that if we have time in this segment. So James Comey today has come out, right? He's come out with new information that has led CNN to call for impeachment again this week. You know, last week it was ice cream, two scoops of ice cream. This week it's hearsay from Comey. And the headline on Drudge says it nicely. The Comey Diaries, revenge commences. Leaks turn to flood. Now what Comey is alleging happened, and he doesn't have any proof to back this up. Now, remember when Trump fired James Comey, the head of the FBI, last week? Trump made a statement about Comey leaking information and tapes that Trump had of their conversations. He said, before you leak anything, think of I'll release tapes of our conversations. So today Comey comes out and says that during a meeting he had with Trump, that Trump asked him to close the investigation on Michael Flynn. Now, keep in mind, this request was not given in writing. There is no proof of this. But Comey, apparently the day after the meeting, wrote this information down to log or to keep track or keep progress of their meetings together. So there's a headline going out that a Comey memo states that Trump asked him to end the Michael Flynn investigation. Now, that's not really a memo. It's from Comey's notes from the conversation. So this broke on the New York Times today, and we'll get into that a little more if we have time. There's a lot of moving pieces with this. Now, back to yesterday, and I wonder if yesterday's Washington Post release of that story was timed due to this Seth Rich story that was breaking, because this Seth Rich story isn't something that happened overnight. This has been an ongoing investigation, as the family of Seth Rich hired a private investigator, former retired D.C. homicide detective Ron Wheeler. And what's interesting about this is what Fox News is reporting, that 96 hours after Seth Rich's murder in D.C., the FBI was in possession of information that showed that Seth Rich was in contact with WikiLeaks. Not only that, he released 44,000 plus emails to WikiLeaks. Now, the FBI knew this 4 days after the murder and never released this information. The police chief was told to stand down with Rich's murder. Now, some new information is coming out by the private investigator. And an FBI forensic report of Rich's computer, again generated within 96 hours after Rich's murder, showed he made contact with WikiLeaks through Gavin McFadden, a now deceased American investigative reporter and documentary filmmaker and director of WikiLeaks, who was living in London at the time, the federal source told Fox News. Now, he goes on to say, the federal investigator says, "I have seen and read the emails between Seth Rich and WikiLeaks." This is what the federal investigator told Fox News, confirming the McFadden connection. The emails are in possession of the FBI, while the stalled case is in the hands of the Washington Police Department. Now, I gotta find this, and I'm gonna fill in some gaps here while I do. There is some new information about what happened with Seth Rich that, and I'm not sure what this news agency is. What's this poll? P-O-L. Some people know what this is. I've heard it referenced before. Apparently some anonymous online internet sleuths. But they dug up a police report. Now, the police report states when the police officers found Mr. Rich shot on the ground in the back, he was alive. It also says in the report that the cops were wearing body cameras at the time, and leading to questions being asked, is there anything on those cops' recordings, on their body cams, that would be any kind of useful information? But that's neither here nor there. Again, the real issue is multiple sources, including the private investigator, Mr. Wheeler, who was hired by the family, has broke the story that Seth Rich was the leaker to WikiLeaks from the DNC. Now, you remember the DNC refused to hand over their computers to the FBI during the email investigation when the DNC said it was hacked by Russia. And Hillary Clinton has continued to use this as an excuse as to why she lost the election. So we have the Seth Rich information. Now, back to Comey. What's happening with Comey? Will we see Trump release these tapes? As we saw from yesterday and today, both the New York Times and the Washington Post continue to push what some are saying is fake news, others saying is you know, just made up. But make no mistake, this is a political war we are in, and we see the craziness that this is bringing. Now, Comey, according to many Democrats and Republicans, has no credibility until he got fired. Then everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon about how terrible Trump was and how he was a dictator. Now remember, Comey has a long history of covering up the truth for Hillary Clinton, as well as keeping her from being prosecuted, as we saw in the email case. So when we see these reports come out with no proof, no basis in fact, only taking Comey's word for it, you have to wonder, you know, is this legitimate? Which I don't for a second believe it is. Now, back to the Washington Post story from yesterday. What do we know that we did not know when we talked about this yesterday? And there's quite a bit there. We know that with with there were three people in the room, not including Trump and the Russian ambassador who was there. But McMaster made a statement today, and it was interesting. He says that information Trump shared with Russian officials was wholly appropriate, and he also said that the information, what Trump shared, was not classified. And then there's more there that he said that, you know, Trump didn't know who the source was that actually was outed due to this Washington Post report. Now, Dad, I gotta get your opinion on this. I don't know if you've been paying attention to some of the updated information from the Washington Post report and what McMaster said today.
Yes, I have.
Where do you think the information came from? Do you think it was made up? Because I believe, after thinking about it...
No, I think that there's a third part. I mean, I think the information went from that room to an intermediary, and from the intermediary to the newspaper. Okay, you have to understand, the Washington Post, CIA, New York Times...
Well, yeah, Amazon. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post.
New York Times, FBI. You know, for example, why was it released to the Washington Post as opposed to the New York Times? Again, excuse me, the recipient, the intended recipient, the funnel of the information. You identify that mode, the delivery system of the information. You're going to identify the leaker. So I truly believe that the information went to the Washington Post from a third party, obviously outside of the room, but had access to the notes and information inside the room. And from there, of course, you've got the likely suspects. And I'm not going to go through the likely suspects, but I will say that the end result here is impeachment. Impeachment of credibility, impeachment politically, and the entire destruction of the Donald Trump administration. The people are, and we have to look and think bigger, I believe. We have to think bigger about this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not about just taking down or taking out Donald Trump. This is about making our country ungovernable. Now think about that for a minute.
And that's their stated goal.
Correct. So how do you do that? Well, you have to have internal penetration. Penetration from within, we have that. They're now working their plan. They made the plan, and now they're working the plan. But this story, this report, and I watched, I had MSNBC on just to watch the reaction of Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, and of course the people they have on with them, their guests, and you even have some of the Republican conservative senators and such talking about how terrible this is. Well, when you start throwing out word, the descriptive terms about the leak, certain words and catchphrases to me indicate where this is coming from, or who this is coming from, and who the intended audience, or who the intended filter of the information, the intended recipient might be.
And there's a new, relatively new, and it was new to me when I heard about it. I think it's Shared Blue. Is that,
we talked about Shared Blue. Is a key organization.
I've heard it before, and it didn't register until a few weeks ago. But these are the organizations, that are fighting the Trump presidency and fighting any resemblance of anything that's normal in this world. But the Shared Blue seems more politically motivated. But they get their talking points, you know, directly from these, Media Matter think tanks that have been embedded in the Obama administration. And it seems that the Obama, Hillary, the Podestas are intertwined with these, companies that disseminate information and disinformation specifically for the goal of what my father said is undermining the president and the government and the president's credibility. One of their goals is to wear...
Well, wait a second. Don't forget about the DHS takeover of the election process. That does play into current times right now, because this is going to come into play through the invocation of perhaps the 25th Amendment, Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, or if in fact, well, in future elections, but nonetheless, just remember everything that Obama did on his way out the door has a purpose for today and has an intended purpose for later right. on in the week. Go ahead.
One of their goals is to wear down the people who voted for Trump, to wear down the Trump supporters who are, you know, online every day, commenting, posting articles, writing articles. They want to wear down not only the moral fabric of this country, but they want to wear down the political, base that supports the Constitution, that supports the agenda that Trump put forward. Now, we said it last week, Trump is just a byproduct of a movement, a political movement in this country that wants to restore, you know, the Constitution, restore, liberties, to remove, you know, the overbearing government, to enforce the existing laws and rectify laws that are, and taxes that are there to obstruct and to hinder and to steal from the people. Now, Trump is just the face of this agenda. He was the one politician who put these issues in front of the public and ran on that platform. Trump is just he's just the target right now because of he's the face behind the agenda. But their real goal is to wear down not Trump, the people who supported the agenda Trump ran on. And this harnessing resistance to the president and to the president's supporters and the supporters of the agenda has a specific goal of not changing people's minds, but to get sick of the actual president. And with that, if we were to toss him aside, we would be tossing aside much of what he promised to do, which was, you know, remove these burdens, these taxes, and to restore freedoms. And we've seen him have a very successful, you know, first 100 days, even with the blocking of his travel ban and the number of other things that he's received opposition and trying to implement. And, you know, we're only, you know, 130, 140 days into this presidency. And at the rate we're going, people are either going to be completely turned off to politics forever, or as we see on the other side of this, the completely, you know, the brain dead social justice, politically correct movement that is just continuing to reach mind boggling proportions with, and we were reading a story today, and I want to touch on this about, Michigan University. Students felt masculated by the wood in one of their, you know, iconic academia buildings in Michigan University.
No, that's just ridiculous.
It is though. Ridiculous.
I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
But more to the point, the political violence from Antifa and the left, as, you know, the Huffington Post put out basically a manifesto that said, these people, should not be able to eat a meal in public or in person without, you know, being protested. They should be protested wherever they go. They should be protested in their homes. And violence might be needed in order to bring this about. That was the report from the Huffington Post on this political violence. But what they want to do is they want to completely destroy, not only the president, but what the president stands for and his agenda. And if they're able to do that, it would be the same effect as if we voted Hillary Clinton as president months ago.
Well, and that's the key.
That is the key, and that's what they're trying to do. So whatever you think about all this stuff, don't let it wear you down. Don't buy into the propaganda. Don't react to this news, because it's always a lie, it seems. And this is the last few days is nothing different, except when you see the overwhelming amount of lies coming in to try to cover up stories with actual merit, or like we saw with the Susan Rice unmasking scandal. That story got covered up just as fast as it came out.
Okay.
Never to be heard from again.
And don't forget the unmasking aspect, that's got many intonations to it, but think of this. 2005, the NSA began the wholesale collection of information. And Judge Napolitano was talking about this, the wholesale collection of information, of everyone's information, then that was beginning and really in earnest in 2005, the digital collection. Then you've got the data filing, storage, and sifting, and then of course you've got the third part of this, which is the unmasking. And that's just keep that in mind. We had talked about that earlier. Now, to go back to what you were saying before, this does tie in, by the way, to the Seth Rich murder. Again, I believe that the Seth Rich murder is perhaps the single most important story right now that we should really be focusing on.
There's WikiLeaks emails where there's conversations between Podesta, Jennifer.
Yes.
Where they talk about, you know, how to handle some of this dissent, against the Clinton campaign. And they're dealing with the pro-Trump supporters online where they even say, you know, should we make an example of these people? And this is a conversation, you know, where people are going back and forth. And in one of the emails, they said, well, remember Seth Rich, you know, right. ... Meaning, you know, if they need to, they would, murder you for whatever reason they perceive if you know, are leaking information. And I think right. that had to do with specific leaks inside the campaign. But that's in the WikiLeaks emails. I pulled that up again this morning, and I should,
I'm going to be doing a report on this, a pretty lengthy investigative report on this. I believe this is important. That is the Seth Rich murder that, now the PI, Roy Wheeler. Look, I do believe that he was told by some of the investigators in DC that they're slow walking the investigation. Now, usually if a private investigator it's not like on television, of course, there's a relationship that does develop if you're working for the same side, working for Justice for the Family, for example, or to solve a murder. The police, the district attorney in general, will welcome the assistance from a PI. This has been my experience. I've talked to other PIs who've worked in DC, Los Angeles, and other cities. It's been their experience as well. And I do believe the statement that has been, discounted by the, DC police that essentially DC police has been told to back off. Now, having said all of that, who is ultimately behind all of this? If you go back, and I think that history, recent history, the development of Obama's Organizing for America, the creation of the 32,525 foot soldiers, and the 200 field offices under Obama. You've got the outgrowths from that, or at least groups on the parallel path, the paths with that. You've got Disrupt J20, which Michael Moore has promoted. You've got Americans Take Action, Workers World Party, which of course is a communist, party. You've got ANSWER, which is Act Now to Stop War and End Racism Coalition. You've got Progress Unity Fund, DC Anti-Fascism Coalition. You've got Refuse Fascism, fascism.org. And then under all of those, you've got the paid idiots out there. And you can see this too on the various forums. A lot of people, will say, well, I never got my check, you know, kidding around saying that they're not paid. Okay. There's a core group of people that in each of these protests and each of these groups are getting paid. In fact, even I would venture to suspect from Soros funds. Now, these are the groups that we from the Northeast Intelligence Network are infiltrating or have infiltrated. I can't go into the operational details, obviously, at least not at this point, but a lot of the icons of these groups are some House Republicans, including Paul Ryan. You've got John Boehner, you know, of course, the previous Speaker of the House. Even now, his political expertise is being used to massage these groups. You've got Senate Republicans such as Lindsey Graham, of course, and Marco Rubio, even today, John McCain, and Chuck Grassley, and, of course, Ron Johnson. Now, interestingly enough, some of these people are recipients of Soros funding in addition to many of the Democrats, but that's interesting. Now, to bring this all together, the WikiLeaks, and I think this is so important to understand, when you've got people within the administration telling Donald Trump, president, to classify WikiLeaks as a terrorist organization or on the same level as a terrorist organization, you've got a situation where you've got new tools available to the government at that point. And I think this is what they're trying to do. And it was through WikiLeaks, Joe, as you mentioned, that Seth Rich was identified as a leaker within the DNC. Isn't it interesting we have leakers within the Trump administration who go unmolested and are allowed to leak or are leaking the information, totally antithetical to the objectives of Donald Trump. Now, all of this does come together at the end of the day, because at the end of these strings or these paths exist Obama, Hillary, Bill Clinton as well. Bill and Hillary, not so much Bill, he's out having a good time. Bill, or Hillary, of course. And then you've got some people who existed in supporting positions within the Obama administration. Those are the people who are doing the vast amount of work. And I do believe if you, and folks, I would also urge everyone to go back, take a look at, or take a look at George Webb at his YouTube channel. If you had, we've had him on our program. I spoke to him, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago now, about some things. Folks, he is doing a stellar job in uncovering a lot of information. We're going to have him back on the show again. George Webb, W-E-B-B, look up, search his YouTube channel, watch his reports. He does address the Seth Rich murder. And even back 3-4 weeks ago, maybe even 2 months ago, he was talking about this very issue. But this all connects. So.
And folks, we're coming up against the break. When we come back from that break, we're going to be joined by Patrick Wood of Technocracy News. Patrick Wood's been a guest on our show in the past, and he's a great source of information of all things technological, and we're going to get into that with him, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Stay tuned.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Boy, I'll tell you what, this guest is, he rocks the house wherever he goes. In fact, Patrick Wood is going to be at the Red Pill Expo keynote speaker on June 23rd and 24th in Bozeman, Montana. Ah, how do you like that? That's right. Patrick Wood is our guest, for the next couple of segments, man. I'll tell you what, Patrick Wood is a man that I love his stuff. I love to talk with him and to listen to him. I love to listen to him. He's got so much information and he's got so much good material. Before we get to Mr. Wood, let me just say this. Communications. Never been more important. I don't think communications, today communications are extremely important. Satellitephonestore.com. Satellitephonestore.com. You need to visit satellitephonestore.com. You need to talk to Eric Tallman. Now he's my contact person at satellitephonestore.com. Have him fix you up with a satellite phone. In fact, you and perhaps your wife or you and another family member, have him fix you up with a satellite phone from satellitephonestore.com. This is the place to go for all things satellite. Okay. This is fantastic. As a matter of fact, they have specials that they, for our Hagmann listening audience, just tell them you're a listener to this program and ask for Eric and he will take care of you. There are many options that you can get. In other words, you can get the devices hooked up to satellite. Imagine getting your internet via satellite. But communication is extremely important, especially when things go sideways. You need reliable communications. This is it. Satellitephonestore.com. Check out our friends there. Tell them the Hagmann and Hagmann Report sent you. One more time, satellitephonestore.com. And by the way, the prices for the satellite phone plans, they're comparable, in my view, to a current cell phone plan. It's amazing. I thought they were unaffordable. They're anything but. And especially the Iridium, the new or the Iridium satellite phones. They're fantastic devices. They're tried true by our team. They work and they work well. Satellitephonestore.com. Joe, I'm going to toss it to you. Let's bring on Patrick Wood.
Yeah, our guest this evening is Patrick Wood. He's an expert on sustainable development, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and historic technocracy. He's the author of Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation.
Man, fantastic.
One of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And his website is technocracy.news. That's technocracy.news. Patrick, welcome back to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report.
Well, good evening. Thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy the airtime with you guys. You do a great job.
Well, I'll tell you something. Our listeners and viewers enjoy watching and listening to you. You always bring to the table fantastic information. Before we get started, let's talk about the event, the upcoming event. Go ahead and if you don't mind, tell people about the Red Pill Expo that's going to be taking place in Bozeman, Montana this coming June.
Yeah, well, everybody understands the red pill versus the blue pill paradigm that was made popular with the movie The Matrix many years ago. And that's kind of the concept of this conference. It's being sponsored by Freedom Force International, which is an organization that was started by G. Edward Griffin, who is the sponsor, co-sponsor, whatever, of Red Pill Expo in Bozeman, Montana. And people will recognize G. Edward Griffin as if they never heard of him before. He's the guy that wrote the book on the Federal Reserve System. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you've never read that book or even heard of it, you need to go find out about it because it's spilled all the beans you need to know about the Federal Reserve. But G. Edward Griffin is still just sharp as a tack, and he decided to put this together to help people break through the fake news barrier. So he's called together just a bunch of people. I don't know how many speakers are on the roster right now. It's only a 2-day conference, but it's going to be jam-packed with people that you need to hear from, I guess. We've got people like, G. Edward Griffin himself is going to speak.
And by the way, he's going to be coming, not to interrupt you, he's coming on our show. G. Edward Griffin's going to be on in a couple of weeks as well, I think in advance of the expo, to give some additional coverage of the Red Pill Expo in Bozeman. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you'll love talking to him. He's a great guy. We've got Sheriff Richard Mack coming. We've got people like James Corbett is going to be Skyping in from Japan. We've got, oh gosh, we've got Caravan to Midnight host John B. Wells is going to be our MC.
Fantastic.
Conference. I know. He's got one of the best voices in radio ever. And he's a real freedom lover, too. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just a great lineup of speakers. People can go to redpillexpo.org and see all the speakers that are on the list, and that there's a little short bio on each one, and you get an idea of what's going on. It's a fantastic conference. The price is completely manageable. If you can't do something like this real cheap, it's not like $25 at your local tea party meeting, but it's going to be a conference. It'll be the networking event of the year. We've got so many mucky mucks coming that aren't speaking even. It's going to be a networking.
I'd like to just be in the audience to listen to the vast array of speakers that you've got, the talent there.
Yeah, exactly. So there hasn't, in my knowledge, I've been to a lot of conferences over the years. I can't think of anything since, you know, at least in the last 10 years, I can't think of any conference that's had this kind of schedule and lineup of speakers. I just haven't. So it's going to be interesting to see. This is kind of the first one that they've done like this. It's unique. If it really goes well, we'll do it again next year. If it doesn't, we won't. But, you know, that's the way things go. But so far, we've got a lot of people that have said, yep, I'm going to, it's Bozeman or bust, baby. And they're coming to Bozeman. And it's not the cheapest place to get to either, necessarily, nor are the hotels the cheapest in the world, because after all, it is Bozeman, and this is going to be in June, the best time of the year to be there. But you know what? Some people are driving their motorhomes up. They're pulling their trailers. They're going to go to Yellowstone afterwards. They're going to go up to Whitefish. They're going to go up to the national parks and stuff up there, and they're going to have a blast and play after they get their head cleaned out by the Red Pill Expo. It's going to be a great time.
Well, sounds like it. Yeah, thanks for that. And the last time Joe and I were in Bozeman, I think it was June 1st or something. It was the first part of June. 2014, right. So that's 3 years ago. And so roughly, almost 3 years.
Yeah.
2013 or 2014?
Maybe 2013.
Maybe
2014, 2015, we were in Florida. 2013.
Okay, so 4 years ago. But as we were landing, I looked out the airplane window, and I'm pretty sure I saw somebody on a burro. You know, to get to Bozeman. So, hey, you know, I know it's not the easiest place to get to. So, all right, Mr. Wood, what's on the agenda here? Let's get into some meat and potatoes here of the current issues. Where do you want to start?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I think I want to start by saying, by maybe just reminding people, if they didn't already know this, that what got me started in this whole thing that we're into today, that we're talking about today, was the partnership that I had with the late Anthony C. Sutton in 1978 through about 1982. And during that period of time, we studied and wrote about the Trilateral Commission. We were really the only ones at the time that were doing this, from at least from a scholarly point of view. Sutton was just before that with the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He's a research fellow. Prior to that, he's a professor of economics at UCLA. The guy was no slouch. He's a master researcher. And he got booted from Stanford, from the Hoover Institution, by the president of Stanford, David Packard, of Hewlett-Packard fame, who was also a member of the Trilateral Commission, curiously enough. And Sutton got too close, apparently, to doing some major research on this organization and what they were up to. And they didn't want him to do that, especially not under the auspices of the Hoover Institution, which published all of his books. So they managed to dropkick Sutton out of Stanford, ruined his career, completely destroyed his career. If you're a scholar and that's your business and you don't have a publisher, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you got nowhere to go and nothing to do. So anyway, Sud and I collaborated for about 4 years, and we wrote a newsletter called Trilateral Observer, and we ended up publishing two books, Trilaterals Over Washington. And those books lit a wildfire across America. We sold a bunch of them, but we also ended up speaking around the country just to some incredible audiences and groups of people. We did radio programs, we did TV programs, we spoke in person, we debated members of the Trilateral Commission nose-to-nose and face-to-face and on the air and every other which way but Sunday. And they finally got tired of us and wouldn't come out to play anymore, and we finally got ourselves blacklisted from beat-off booksellers altogether. That was kind of the kiss of death for our book. They didn't like what we were doing and what the things we were saying, and, you know, we were exposing them for what they were. So that's what got me started, guys, on researching technocracy. It started with the Trilateral Commission back in the 70s.
Yeah, that was in 1978 when that book came out, right?
That's right. That's the first one. We had two volumes.
Okay.
And it's been out of print all these years. There's still some used copies available on Amazon, and every once in a while you can find one for maybe $30 or $40, but I've also seen them on there for $300 or $400.
Yeah, exactly.
A piece.
And they're worth it.
It'll price me out of the game. But I'll tell you, and I'm the author, right? I'm not going to buy my own book. Well, hey, let me tell you what I have cooking right this second. I just put the polishing touches today, as a matter of fact, earlier, on retypesetting volumes 1 and 2. I'm combining them into a single book, and it's going to print within a week, and I'm really excited about that.
Wait a second. A week from now?
A week from now. I'm expecting, well, you know, things like this could take a little longer sometimes, but
right.
I've had experience with publishing, and I think probably it's going to be about a week before we get it up on Amazon. And
so you're telling us you're going to republish volumes 1 and 2 from your original book in 78, Trilaterals Over Washington,
yeah.
And it's coming out within a week, 10 days, a couple of weeks?
That's exactly right. But let me tell you why I'm doing this in particular. So I'll appreciate any money I get, to help support the effort. But if I were to take Technocracy Rising as a third part of a trilogy, where Trilaterals Over Washington were the first two books, that would be a very appropriate thing for me to say. I have thought that many times, even when I started out writing Technocracy Rising about 3 years ago. I thought even at that time that this is the rest of the story. This is the third book in a series. I couldn't call it Trilaterals Over Washington because these guys went global in the meantime. From the 70s to now, they're not just about America anymore. They're about the whole world. And so Technocracy Rising wasn't just about the United States. It was about the whole enchilada. But those three books need to be read together. That's why I'm building up here. That tells the rest of the backstory on how I got to where I got to with Technocracy Rising. And these rats have been up to this, guys, for all these years, since 1973. It's almost 45 years. They've been doing the same thing from day one. They told us what they're going to do. They did it. Now they're telling us what they did. And virtually nobody and the media has tracked this. I can't think of anybody. The old names of renown that got a lot of traction editorially, people like Gary Allen, for instance, who sold None Dare Call a Conspiracy, sold millions of copies all over the world.
Yep.
He got, I mean, wow, that talk about getting the word out. This is back when there was just, you printed books and well, if you had a publisher, you got distribution, professional distribution. But he distributed those books all over tarnation. People just went nuts. We haven't had anything like that ever since. And a lot of people just don't understand where we came from, how we got to where we are today. And it really struck me that I was an eyewitness. That's different than just being somebody who read a book about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I was there. We watched these people. We interacted with these people. We debated these people in person. I can't eventually, who knows what, how many more years I got on planet Earth, hopefully a lot. If I'm like G. Edward Griffin, do what he does, I'll be there, 15 years from now too. But, I look at this and I say, I can't let that experience die without telling people. So I felt it so important finally to get Trilaterals Over Washington back in print so people can take both books together and get the whole picture of why we are where we are today, how we got here, who the players are, the whole nine yards. And on one hand, like I say, I'm really excited about this, I jump up and down. Well, this is going to be great. But you know what? That's not the depth of what I'm feeling about this. This is my over 40 year completion of a life's work.
Mm.
And I'm probably going to write one more book, maybe two after this, but these three books constitute the trilogy.
Indeed.
And that's where I'm going with it. So when your listeners see that book appear, they'll know what it's all about. They heard it here. I told you.
That's fantastic. Wow.
And the cover has been redesigned, by the way. So just to show continuity, the cover has been redesigned from the original cover. It's going to look similar enough to Technocracy Rising that you won't mistake it. If you saw it together, like on a book table or in a bookstore, you go, oh, those two books are connected because, one's blue, Technocracy Rising has a blue and green theme. The Trilaterals Over Washington is going to have a red and yellow theme. But the artwork's going to be very similar.
All right, because of the Trilaterals Over Washington, I think the cover has the Capitol and then a dragon, drawing of a dragon over the Capitol.
Right.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm excited. And thank you for announcing this on the Hagman & Hagman Report. This is great news. Because your book, Technocracy Rising, answers a lot of questions. There's no wasted space or words in that book, I'll tell you. So, to get the benefit of the eyewitness, shall we say, eyewitness accounts, from the first two, and having the third as a final in a trilogy. That's fantastic. How far, Mr. Wood, how far in their agenda are these technocrats right today? I mean, how far down this road are we?
I'm sorry to say they're almost home.
Yeah.
Their end game is very close to being completed. And, for some, it's a real boring story. And I know most people are just going to say, who cares? We are where we are. We're all screwed. So what? Enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we, whatever, die. Other people like you and I are not satisfied just to say, oh, well, and go off and frolic in the grass. We want to know. And who are we to say, anyway, that there might not be some kind of reprieve, even if it's from God Almighty himself, that would turn things back for a time if citizens got engaged to the point where they figured out the monkey wrench to throw into these people's silly machine? We might. I'm not just going to give up for sure and say, well, I'll just leave it to fate, go fishing. I guess you could say you're responsible for what you do know. And if you plug your ears and cover your eyes, I don't want to hear it. Well, okay. You're not going to know anything. But I hate to say it. If anybody has that attitude, they're going to still be held responsible. If they've had an opportunity to hear it and they just flat out put the earwax in, and
yep,
said, I'm not going to listen to you, they're going to be held accountable, I think, in the end too. But for the rest of us who know stuff, we just feel compelled that we need to tell our story. And
absolutely.
You know,
I was thinking about you, and I know we really didn't talk before the program. We didn't script any of this. I was thinking about you in advance of tonight's interview. I did bring your book out, and I was rereading it again, Technocracy Rising. Folks, if you haven't gone through the couple hundred page book, it's a great read. But let me ask you this. What you're seeing right now, in your view, what you're seeing right now, what we're all seeing right now with the impeachment, not legal or congressional impeachment of Donald Trump, but the impeachment of the process, the impeachment of the man in the office right now, how does that play in to technocracy, what you've been writing about, what you've been warning about? Can you kind of just touch on that a little bit?
I sure can. I'm reaching for a book. Excuse me. I'm not leaning over to throw up or anything.
although some people might say we wouldn't blame you if you did. You know these guys.
I always travel with an airbag in my back pocket, you know, just for these events. No, I'm just kidding, people. I don't do that. Okay, I'm way past that. Believe me. Here's a book. If you haven't heard of this before, you will, because you're going to hear about it from me, if nothing else. The book is called Technocracy in America. And it's written by a global scholar by the name of Parag Khanna, Dr. Parag Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A. This book came out in January of this year. It's not a very long book. It's only about 120 pages long. His other books are much longer. Because he's a professor of, I think political science down in Singapore. He's an American citizen, I believe, but he was born in India. His parents were Indian, and that's East India. And then he was raised in Dubai, of all places, and he went to Georgetown University, got his PhD at London School of Economics. The guy's a brain. He's young. He's good looking. He's the global elite love this guy, and he's one of the global movers and shakers right now in the intellectual world. I liken him to a young Zbigniew Brzezinski. That's just my opinion, of course. Brzezinski was a brilliant guy. He's a young man. He still is, I suppose. But he was a co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. For those who don't know that, but this book, Technocracy in America. This is incredible, Doug, and I'll tell you why. Because he lays it out that democracy in America is broken, he says. He just came out and said it. Democracy in America is broken. And what America needs is technocracy.
Okay.
Now, this guy is a global scholar. He's got a list of books and publications with Choke a Horse. He speaks at all the big events around the world, you know, where you expect the mucky mucks to appear.
Right.
And this guy speaks, they listen. He says what America needs is technocracy because democracy is broken. Now, let me tell you what he means by that. He says what we need to do first off is we need to get rid of the office of the presidency altogether, and we need to establish a co-presidency.
That's right.
Where we have a committee of seven, say, like Switzerland does. And we need to run everything by committee. And oh, by the way, we need to dismiss the Senate. The Senate's useless anyway. I don't say that, but this, you know, he said we need to get rid of the Senate. And we need to establish a board of governors, like from the states, you know, so each state should have two governors that we elect. And one of the governors stays in our home state, the other governor goes to Washington and kind of does something there, you know, like what the Senate might have done. But then he says, the Constitution, and in parentheses, I'll say what's left of it. The Constitution should be given over to the Supreme Court for modification and maintenance. No. It shouldn't be the Senate that's in charge of the Constitution. It should be the Supreme Court who takes over modification. of the Constitution. Now this guy
just ruptured. Sorry about that.
You asked where we're going. I can't tell you. This book is compared to his other books, is a poorly written book. He rushed it to print. It's obvious. I do books. I know when a book was rushed, I can tell.
Right.
He missed editorial cycle. There's typos in it that you go, what? How could a guy like that, you know, words transposed, you go, what? But, you know, aside from that, I want to tell you, he's laying it out on the table and saying, this is where we're headed. It's wow. Technocracy. Now, there's you know, I've been saying this for a number of years, but here's the big thing I want to point out. This is not a new agenda. This technocracy was developed and designed in the 1930s at Columbia University. This is nothing new. But, and I'll say also parenthetically that technocracy was the only replacement economic system ever designed in the history of the world.
Patrick, we got to stop right there. We're up against our break. We're going to pick up right there when we left off. Folks, our guest is Patrick Wood. Technocracy.news is the website. Technocracy.news. Make sure you bookmark that site and check it regularly. And we'll be right back with Patrick Wood after the short break. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.